In the name of Jesus. Amen. Gospel reading is the basis for the sermon on this Lord's Day. This man receives sinners and eats with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You act a certain way because you believe certain things. Behavior is determined by thinking. Belief goes before action. It's an old story that gets played out day after day. We judge people. We judge people, and other people judge us. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam disobeyed God, ate of the forbidden fruit. God confronts Adam, gives him a chance to tell what had happened. Adam judges Eve and judges God. He says to God, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, God, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." He judges Eve and judges God when confronted with his sinfulness. And we do the same thing. We do it when we're little kids. We do it when we're adults. You confront a child with something they've done wrong, like, yeah, it wasn't me, it was that person. Adults are the same way. When that light is shown on us, we look for ways to shine it on somebody else, to redirect the focus. Add to that our joy at hearing about the wrongdoing of others. Bad news sells. Having the dirt on someone else is grist for the gossip mill, and we like to keep it going. There are people outside of these church doors who won't come in because they're afraid of being judged. They have judged themselves, and they see that church is rules and things you got to do, and they feel they could never live up to that. They already feel judged, and they don't want more of that. They know nothing about the forgiveness that is offered here in this place. And so they remain outside. One of the reasons people enjoy working with animals is animals don't judge you. Animals won't ask you what bad life choices you've made or how many times you have been married. Why are we so anxious to judge other people? Well, part of that, as I said, is because we don't want that light focused on us. We are insecure. And so when that light's focused on us, we look for ways to shine the light on somebody else. Oh, I know I'm not perfect, but did you hear about what that person did? The religious leaders were shocked that our Savior would eat with sinners. And these were people who everybody knew, they were public sinners, tax collectors. Tax collectors made money by extorting money from their fellow citizens. And everybody knew it. They were lowlifes. That's how they made their money. Others were public sinners, homewreckers. Those people who ruined not only their own lives, but the lives of others. Jesus ate with them. This man receives sinners and eats with them. That was an accusation, and it was accurate. It's tempting to believe that it's our obedience, our trying to be good, that makes us children of God. That somehow God receives us because we are decent people trying to do the right thing and fulfill his demands, but that is not so. Jesus receives sinners. The righteous stand at the door murmuring and shaking their heads at that. But the basis for God's church is not morality or obedience, but forgiveness and grace that is found in Christ. There is no sin so great that it cannot be forgiven when one believes in Jesus. There's no sin so great that it cannot be forgiven when one believes in Jesus. The worst problem then is not sin. The worst problem is unbelief. Unbelief that rejects that offer of forgiveness. Jesus receives sinners. Jesus could have justified his actions. He could have said to the Pharisees, well, you know, I'm trying to reform these people. I'm trying to show them a better way of life. I'm trying to get them to change their ways. Nope, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus ate with them. No judgment. And then he teaches them. He tells them parables about a lost sheep and a lost coin. You heard about that this morning. And the rest of Luke 15 tells the parable of a lost son, the prodigal son. It's all in chapter 15 of Luke. You go from 100 sheep, 10 coins, to 2 sons. In every teaching, something is lost and found. Because all are precious to our Lord. All are precious. All have been reconciled to the Father through the precious blood of Jesus. He died for every single one. There is no exception. Hell has nothing more to demand. Jesus receives sinners. There is not a single sin that has not been paid for. And so, Jesus searches and seeks out sinners. Not to berate and scold them, but to receive them. To serve them. And that makes religious people mad. Nobody would be upset if Jesus came to teach people, bad people, to teach bad people a lesson. But to just, you know, forgive them and love them, that seems too nice. That seems too easy. Seems like God is letting them off the hook. That's difficult for us. We want there to be some justice. We want there to be some payback. Those people who have hurt other people should be made to suffer the way they have made other people suffer. That's the kind of justice we would like. And that's what justice demands. When you read the Bible, you will read of person after person who made bad choices, made poor life decisions. The Bible is not a record of biblical heroes, it's a record of human sinfulness. Abraham, the great father of faith, he tried to pass off his wife as his sister to save his own skin. And then his son Isaac, he did the exact same thing with his wife. His son Jacob deceived his father to steal his brother's inheritance with the help of his mother. Moses was a murderer. King David was an adulterer. Story after story of people making bad choices. And then you heard St. Paul say in our epistle lesson today, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That's what Paul said about himself. Didn't say he was a great missionary, didn't say he was a great apostle. He said, I'm foremost of sinners. Tell your family to write that about you in your obituary. That would be honest. Don't have them write, oh, you never met somebody that, you know, you never met a stranger, you know, loved by all. Have them put in there, oh, this person was a sinner, but was forgiven by the grace of mercy of God and received by Jesus Christ. Because there's a true statement. Paul writes that to show that for this reason, that in me as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. All these people are people who did not deserve the mercy of God, but they received it. That's what makes mercy mercy. It's undeserved. And that's the heart and soul of our faith. Jesus receives and eats with sinners. Where Jesus is, there is forgiveness. Where Jesus is, there is forgiveness. Jesus has not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And repentance doesn't mean you're going to make yourself better. It's not a self-improvement program. Repentance is believing Jesus has done it all for you. You bring your sins to him and receive what he has done for you in Christ. And when that happens, Jesus does two things. First of all, he gives you his righteous life. He gives you his robe of righteousness, your garment of salvation, your attire for the wedding feast that is to come. He gives you that. And then secondly, He gives you His Holy Spirit to battle the sin that you struggle with. Every person who comes to Jesus struggles with sin. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more intensely you may very well see your sin. And so if you're like, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm still struggling with these sins, there's nothing wrong with you. That's how it goes in the life of a Christian. That's why you are a forgiven sinner who struggles with sin all at the same time. Now, if one does not come to Christ, none of that happens. And there's the only difference between sinners. There are some sinners who do not come to Christ and are lost. And there are other sinners who come to Christ and receive His mercy and forgiveness and are found. It is not our opinions, our moral choices, or our behaviors that make us Christians, but it is this, that we come to Jesus, we hear His word, and receive His forgiveness. And for that reason, our Lord establishes a church, that His people would have a place to come. Come and hear that word of forgiveness. And He gives that church pastors, that there would be men who would tell the sheep, this is the kind of shepherd that you have. And that in this place, you get to have the Lord's Supper, where Jesus literally, receives sinners and eats with them. It happens here, for our Lord makes it so. You want to make the angels happy, the Bible tells you how to do it. It's not by trying to be good, it's not by praying, it's not by your church donations. Those are all good things, we need them. But you want to make the angels happy, you repent, you confess your sins, and you receive the grace and forgiveness that is yours in Christ. Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. And that includes you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.